Hey folks, welcome back to Who's Next, the Goldberg podcast where we watch every Goldberg match. I'm Stephen Graham, and continuing with me on this episode is Trevor Dame.
Hi, Stephen. I don't know why I was shocked to be on a podcast that I knew I was going to be on, but yet here we are, and I'm surprised. Great to be here. As always, I don't know where I am.
I assume in your home, as you should be. Yeah.
Hopefully. I mean, it's got a roof, so I'm good no matter what. I mean, I'm not picky, but I had a great time on the first episode, and I am excited for this one.
We got a Disco Inferno match.
Fun fact, when I was a teenager, I was part of a comical e-fed that is a fake online wrestling federation, and including such podcast luminaries as Justin Shapiro, and also future writer for Bill Simmons' ill-fated HBO sports show, Pat Barker, who's also a great stand-up comedian. People should look him up. But anyway, name drop. It was funny because it was like a serious e-fed where we were all like all the people were like really serious, like every e-fed from that era, 20 people pretending to be Raven. And so me and Justin and a bunch of our friends all started joining the e-fed at the same time. And we all basically did nothing but like comedy characters. And basically we were just writing like comedy spec scripts. Like Justin was part of a tag team called Jew Cool. That was a takeoff of Too Cool. And they had like Tom Selleck as a side character in their stories. And it had basically nothing to do with wrestling. And all the people that were taking it seriously got extremely mad at us. And, basically, I wrote a character in that Disco Inferno was basically homeless and just started like living with me, even though I didn't want him to. And he taught me the magic of the Last Chartbuster. And so I feel as if I know Disco Inferno, Stephen. That's my long way of saying it.
My E-Fed character was a Mankind ripoff when he was like going insane between characters and like really losing it. And his name, get this, Stan Graham.
Man, the leap you made.
And he was comedy too. So.
yeah. Oh, man. I guess there's still e-feds now, but I don't ever hear about them blissfully, but.
Oh, yeah. They got to make a comeback. Come on. I always remember someone, I forget who it was, but years and years and years ago, they wrote a little bit of like an e-fed or role playing, and they had like Ted DiBiase trying to recruit a $1 million corporation, and he kept sending Virgil out, and Virgil would bring him like the worst wrestlers. I feel like that is comedy gold that needs to be worked on somewhere.
I actually do a horrible Patreon, which is www.patreon.com/mecca. That's M-E-C-C-A twice in a row, where I recount the history of TNA Mecca, which was one of the craziest wrestling fans.
TNA since, apologist?
Yes, and I've had death threats made at me, so I always got to be careful there. But one thing one of their posters did was they did a very long, very involved dog wrestling e-fed where it was all known wrestlers, but they're dog versions.
Oh my god. Do you review that all on your Patreon?
I have full posts of this guy doing the dog e-fed. I don't know if I can find any on show order. I will.
Was Roman Reigns like the top?
No, this was pre-Roman Reigns. This well, no, actually, there might have been, but
who's the big dog then?
Oh, but I remember it being like I felt so bad for the guy that at some point people that were reading like me reviewing this form were like, more dog e-fed. I was like, guys, come on, let's turn our head here right now. We can't read more of the dog e-fed, but it is definitely, if you dig into the Patreon, there is dog wrestling e-fed. It's the only Patreon I believe that can offer dog wrestling e-fed. So
I think I want to stop this podcast and write wrestlers with like animals that fight for them. And and see how that goes, because that sounds like a fertile ground of material right there. But let's move on. So we saw Goldberg on Nitro last week. He squashed Wrath very easily. And then Steve McMichael stared him down.
Mm-hmm.
And now he gets a TV title shot against the Disco Inferno.
Wow. Very early in his career to get a TV title shot.
He's facing the illustrious TV champion who the night before survived against Jacqueline on pay-per-view.
Oh my god.
So this is a weird time. So, are you ready?
Yes, I am. Oh. Now there's Pyro. Maybe not for Goldberg, Pyro. But remember the days?
I can't imagine Disco got that much. Oh no, you know what this is? This is like the top.
Yeah, this is literally, we just came back. Yeah, it's a new hour. You know, wrestling back in the days when it was actually popular and Pyro just happened spontaneously, you know.
My favorite thing is that Nitro had to do it at like the start of every hour for like to pretend it was a new show or whatever.
Oh yeah.
So there'd be like Pyro mid-match sometimes. Like, oh, it's the second hour. And like they'd be in the ring wrestling and the Pyro would just go off. Because WCW was fucking awesome. That's why.
Much better than WWF, where it was always weird to this kid where like JR had to go, now we're entering the war zone. And you're like, what? The war zone?
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, to game the rating system. Yeah, so bizarre. But nowadays it's just like hour two of Raw, hour three. But
hour four. Is there four?
No, there's not even an overrun anymore, okay. Thankfully. But
we got rid of that. Aren't they like showing old matches?
Yes, they are. In fact, at the time of this recording, they just, I believe, did one of their worst ratings in history. So, yeah, not.
Which is weird because everyone's at home and nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
Everyone.
I believe we just saw a woman wearing a Crow t-shirt doing the Disco Inferno dance, which has to be one of the weirdest juxtapositions of anything ever. Like, the Venn diagram of Disco Inferno and Sting fans, it's probably bigger than you'd think, but still, never not surprised.
Did you notice there that Charles Robinson stared down Disco Inferno the entire time he was dancing on the apron? Didn't blink, didn't move his eyes from him, stared him down.
And
all right, so, Goldberg. Still a very kind of more subtle...
Yeah, still... He's intense, but kind of – he's not really performing. He's just what the – Alex Wright – and he just – okay, Alex Wright just walked down and tried to sneak attack Goldberg. Goldberg knocked him to the ground with what I can only describe is a slight backhand slap. He pulls him in the ring and gives him the jackhammer. Alex Wright, by the way, is wearing a garish green t-shirt, and Alex Wright's been dealt with. Disco Inferno was too busy just watching. He got kneed by Goldberg, speared, and this is a midsection spear. So unlike the last one, the spear is getting close to what we know. And jackhammer. Michael Tenay just asked, is the bell ringing? Bobby Heenan replied, I don't know. With classic WCW, he kicked Alex Wright, Disco Inferno out of the ring, and we're continuing the angle. Mongo's in. Goldberg now does his more leggy grab the leg spear. Everyone's jumping in to tackle and keep them apart. And I believe so, protecting Disco Inferno. That's something, that Disco can tell people as to, like, pick up the ladies without conics. Like, I was such a big star. WCW had to protect me. They didn't want Goldberg to get the pin on me. That's how big a star I was. I couldn't drop the title, the Goldberg. It's true, technically. You don't bring up that's in his first, 10, 15 matches. But, that's it.
So this is wild because, so the bell didn't ring. So Goldberg defeated not only Alex Wright, but also Disco Inferno in like 2 seconds over the TV champion, but doesn't get the title because the bell never rang. But we got to continue it. That Alex Wright jackhammer, though. That was the best one he's done yet. That was awesome.
Yeah, definitely. And it's crazy how in that segment, like 18 things are going on. Like Alex Wright sneaks attacks Goldberg and Mongo. Like Goldberg has already got two rivals and a TV title shot in a 5-minute segment. Like just everything, to quote the famous hockey announcer Bob Cole, everything is happening. So,
oh, I love Bob. Yeah, that was a wild couple minutes right there.
Wow, that was almost exhausting. The amount of things happening, the things per square inch ratio there. It's a dense segment, Stephen.
That was. Was this had Alex Wright aligned with Deborah?
Yeah. I am the wrong person to ask. But again, I think people, if you go back and watch this match, it was like Goldberg basically like brushes, I mean, a little harder than a brush, but basically just pushes the back of his hand against Alex Wright's chest and Alex takes a bump to the ground for it, which I can only describe as a smart move for Alex, I'm going to say.
It looked like a kung fu fight in a movie where like it was like a backhand type of thing. It looked really cool. I liked it a lot. For what?
Knowing that Goldberg in actuality was never like a huge wrestling fan, he was just starting this insane world. Can you imagine being like, all right, Bill, this is what you're going to do. You're going to go out there. A Euro trash dance guy is going to come in a red t-shirt. You're going to like mildly slap him and beat the crap out of him. And then you're going to wrestle a disco dancing wrestler and you're going to also attack him. And just like Goldberg, just the thoughts in his head of like, should have paid more attention during football practice. Like,
I wonder what Goldberg is thinking at this point.
Yeah. It's a thing. I would love to hear, like, I would love Goldberg to be on this podcast, Stephen. That's your big get. You gotta go and, like, show Goldberg, not like a really important match, but just like an early match and be like, what were you thinking in your life at this point? Like, were you thinking this is exciting? Were you thinking this is kind of overwhelming? Were you like reevaluating every decision you've ever made? Like, what was going on in the mind of Goldberg, the podcast behind the cast?
Yeah, because it's wild because he's barely trained. He's barely had 10 matches and he's on TV. He's getting a push. He's in a feud. He's on Nitro every week, squashing people in minutes. And yeah, it's kind of crazy. Like, what a whirlwind of he debuted September 22nd. This was October 27th. It's been a month and 5 days.
And you gotta know there's gotta be some of those wrestlers that are probably really, like, it doesn't come across here because Goldberg is too busy just jacking fools. But, like, there's gotta be some of these wrestlers at this point in Goldberg's rise. Well, hell, I know for a fact that even when he was a huge star, there was wrestlers that felt this way of like, why am I having to get squashed by this guy? But especially at this point, like, you know, you got these guys that have been around for years and they're having to be told, like, you're going to lose to Goldberg. You're not going to get one move of offense. It's going to end in like 20 seconds. And I have to imagine, like, I'm keep waiting for the match we see where someone has like the big time boo boo face on where they're just like, God damn it. I have to lose to this guy. He's never going to amount to anything. And then they lose.
Isn't that what the Steven Regal match is supposed to be?
Yeah. I mean,
I'm not sure.
There's different story. I mean, obviously there's different sides to that story, but yeah, I mean, there definitely was people, wrestlers that had resentment of, you know, I've been doing, again, going back to what we talked about in the last episode, like the weirdness of Goldberg being such a big star so quickly for so little of a time. And so many wrestlers and fans have the mindset of, you know, seniority matters. And in some ways it does, but like, I can imagine a lot of wrestlers just going, I've been doing this for a decade and this guy's been doing it for 3 months. And now I'm not just losing to him, I'm getting completely destroyed by him. So, yeah, it's got to be weird.
He's still not getting much of a reaction.
No. Though, to be fair.
But, yeah, I guess that's a no contest. So, at one point, when they start talking about the streak, I'm going to have to, like, calculate numbers. And I get this doesn't count as a draw. It counts as a no contest. I guess I just don't count this match.
Yeah, I guess not. I mean, about to get Mike Tenay on the line, because I believe, wasn't he the one that was like keeping track of this? It was his idea to keep track of this. The famous story of, I guess Mike Tenay phoned Dave Meltzer and was like, what do you, I think it was Mike Tenay where he was like, what do you think about the idea that we just like keep track of this? And he was like, could you, Dave, you know, you're a nerd like me. Like, could you look up every match he's had so far so I can know how many wins he has? So that'd be interesting.
But they just started throwing.
Yeah. And that's the, are people saying, I don't know how much of this is true, but like, I always am fascinated by just the history recollection of this. Meltzer always said that he felt that hurt Goldberg, that fans, when they started realizing that the signs they were bringing to shows weren't matching the numbers they were saying on TV, that kind of dampened their enthusiasm, because for the fans, part of the fun was, you know, you're bringing that sign to the show, you're keeping up with it, you're keeping track of his matches, and you're going to be on TV with, you know, the 55-0 sign. And if all of a sudden they're gaming the system and you can't even show up with a 55-0 sign because Bobby Heenan's going to be told to say 59-0. Yeah. And, you know, again, I still think, like, for me, maybe I'm just putting myself too much in my own head. It's like, I would still be just as into Goldberg, but, you know, some people think that, that legitimately, like, put a little bit of a damper on him when people stop being able to kind of participate like that.
Yeah, I can see it. I know my reaction at the time was not, not to dampen on Goldberg, but dampen on the company.
Yeah. Well, it's
like they're not being, you know, they're being stupid here, but Goldberg still.
And just you're screwing up. Like, there's no need to try and make to game that. Like, it's the easiest thing in the world. You just let him win, and you count it. Like, and I don't know why they changed the numbers. My only guess, I'd have to do some research, but my only guess would be maybe they wanted it to line up with certain shows, like, oh, if Goldberg had his, you know, 75th win on this show or something like that, you know, but who knows?
Well, I know when he beats Hogan for the title, I think it's like 175 or something like that. So it was an actual number. So maybe when they decide, I'm not sure if that lines up with it or what. Or they just thought bigger numbers hit
it more. Yeah, it's just like, it's like trying to say you're ordering a 16-inch pizza instead of a 14-inch pizza. At that point, it's all big, kids. You know, you don't need to lie about how much pepperoni is on that pie anymore. It gets to a point, it's huge. You know, once Goldberg's up to like 40-0 and 50-0, I don't know if anyone's getting more impressed by like, oh, wait, it's 56-0. Well, thank God, because if it was 53-0, I would not be interested in this segment. Like, no one is thinking that way. I don't know why you would lie about that, but yeah, apparently they, like, that would be an interesting thing to track as this podcast goes along, is when does, like, what's the precise match where they start going, fuck it, like, let's add an extra four matches to the wins to this.
My plan is the moment they mention the streak with a number, I'm going to give the TV number and the overall number I have. Based on my research, and we'll see what we're doing every.
Yeah, that'll be really interesting. That's a good way to do it, I think.
Yeah. All right. So, any last words about Disco? Or what about the Steve McMichael feed?
I guess I can presume, like, the only reason, like, it has to be the reason they're feuding in with Steve McMichael is because of the NFL connection, right? Like, that has to be the only reason. Because in a sane person, would they really think, you know, a green wrestler coming up, who's a guy we should really pair him with early on? Oh, Steve McMichael, he'll teach him the ropes. Like,
well, I think, like, Steve McMichael had, like an aura of legitimacy.
Yeah.
And the football thing. And I know later on in the feud, I don't think it's in a match, a Goldberg match, so we probably won't watch it. But Goldberg steals the Super Bowl ring.
Oh.
Which is stupid. Which is stupid. I think what happens here is that, like, they don't know what they're doing yet. And, like, he's kind of doing some heel stuff. And they're trying to do, like, a traditional feud here. And I think this all of 97 is them just trying to figure things out. And then they just kind of, like, in 98, they kind of reboot him. And be like, okay, Goldberg squashes people. We count the wins. He destroys everyone quickly. and it's kind of like a new, like a reset mm-hmm. type of thing. And I'm not sure when that happens in 98. Early on, I know that. But I feel like this early 97 stuff is like, well, he's a wrestler. He needs a feud. Is he a babyface? Is he a heel? Let's try to figure that out. And like, just kind of more traditional thoughts.
Yeah, they just literally, he needs something to do. Which is funny because, you know, what we learn is actually, no, he really doesn't. He can just kill people randomly every week and that works. But yeah, at this point, I guess that tells you they still thought of him like a regular wrestler, which is wrestlers generally need a focus every week. But Goldberg's the rare guy who really didn't need a focus.
Exactly. Well, thank you, Trevor. This has been a lot of fun. Join us next week on Who's Next? Well, Goldberg takes on the Renegade.
Wow.
Well, we talked about Disco Inferno last night at Halloween Havoc, not having a game plan against Jacqueline. Well, he better have a strategy against Bill Goldberg.
Oh, does he ever have to have a strategy against this guy? Well, this guy's a monster.
I think that even as good as Bill Goldberg is, as awesome as he is, and listen to the ovation he has received, and we're talking about in a very short span. Bill Goldberg made his debut when we were in Salt Lake City. You remember that?
A little over a month ago.
And he comes out. He's got someone from behind, Alex Wright. Alex Wright very angry about what happened last night. You'll recall Alex Wright. Whoa, Alex Wright.
Jackhammer.
Going to get a jackhammer from Bill Goldberg.
Disco, you better nail Goldberg from behind.
He's having a good laugh at that.
Not for long.
I was going to say the strategy against Goldberg, pretty simplistic. Stay away from him. But I don't think Disco can stay away from him.
What a tough guy.
Goldberg, put him down. He's going to jackhammer the spin, too.
And we're going to have a new champion.
Wait a minute. Did the bell ring in this match?
I don't know.
The match is, you're right, the match has not even started. The referee has not called the bell. Mongo has come down. Steve McMichael. Take a break.
Somebody's hearing a bell in there.
Oh my, what a fight.
I like this Goldberg guy.